close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grimly ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And as always, please go ahead and pull down those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. Guys, how you doing today?
Good, good. Why do we not pull down their safety bars?
That's our niche.
We're not the ghost hosts.
We don't want to get in their personal space.
That's correct. We are coming to you live in your living room, but we're not actually there. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. We appreciate all the support we've received so far from this podcast. This is Episode 5, Walt Disney World Hotels Battle Royale Round 1. And we'll explain a little bit more about what that means in a second. Craig, do you know what that means?
Vaguely, from what we talked about before we started recording. But I think, Matthew, it's your mastermind of this, so
well,
do tell.
We'll get into that in just a few moments. We did ask on Facebook and Twitter recently, our last episode, episode 4, we talked about what it means to say welcome home into that Disney World hotel, and we kind of addressed a lot of the prices that are involved in picking the right hotel on or off-site. And Derek, why don't you read some of the responses we had from our Grim Grinning Greatness question? We asked you, the listeners, what is your favorite Walt Disney World hotel and why? Derek, read some of our responses.
Sure. Amy Bryant says she loves staying at Pop Century. The decor is fun and the travel times to all the parks was reasonable. Amanda McNabb said we stayed at Pop twice and New Orleans French Quarter once. Both resorts are great. Mandy Harrison really enjoys Port Orleans Riverside. It's so pretty. But my dream would be to stay at the Grand Floridian.
On Twitter, Alan Gilbert replied, Port Orleans Riverside, the only resort we've ever stayed at. We know how to maneuver around. Alan's son, Eric, also said Port Orleans Riverside. Me and Dad rent a boat every time and take it to downtown Disney. Also, Mark Jackson said that Port Orleans Riverside, formerly Dixie Landings, was the first place that he stayed on property. And he liked the central location and the buses. And Nick, all the way from Searcy, Arkansas, says that his daughter Lily loves Pop Century. You can't beat the value and theming. We're staying at Old Key West in March and looking forward to trying out a DVC studio. Speaking of DVC, Craig, let's talk a little bit about renting DVC points. Because in the last episode, that's one thing we meant to touch on. We referenced that there could be a possibility of potentially saving some money on staying in one of those deluxe resorts. How does renting DVC points work? Because I know Nick, and I think that's what they did. What do you got?
I would have deferred to Derek. Derek is the mastermind on that. When we went recently, us three, we were able to do so through DVC and stayed at Bay Lake Towers. If we had not used DVC, we probably would not have stayed at Bay Lake Towers. So, Derek, tell us more about that.
Sure, there's a few different companies that do DVC rentals. Some have a charge that they charge you to look up if anything's available, and some do not. It just depends on which company you decide to go with. But it's a fairly easy process. I believe when, for our trip, it was, I never got online to do anything. I actually just text the employee of the company that I was using that time. Really easy, and it wasn't difficult at all. I just told her what dates I wanted, and she got back with me within 10 or 15 minutes. And I think after that, she emailed me some form that I had to initial online and email back to her and say, yeah, we wanted it, and that was it, and make my payment. So,
and if I remember right, we also changed our mind a time or two, and that was an easy process too, wasn't it, as far as what she'd offered us, and we kind of said, well, we want to look at...
Yeah, she did. She gave us multiple options. She did. I believe one was Animal Kingdom and one was Bay Lake Tower, and I can't remember what the third option was.
Is it Old Key West?
It could have been. I can't remember.
So what's the advantage of using DVC?
Money.
The big thing is the cost of it. You're really getting deluxe hotel accommodations for moderate pricing in most cases. We stayed two nights, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was what, right around $500?
Two nights for $521, I believe.
Well, and the reason Bay Lake Tower, the DVC, we can do that is because it's kind of like a timeshare. Mm-hmm. And people that own those resell those and put those out there. So if you were unsure what DVC is, we want to make that clarification for you that it's an opportunity to basically borrow somebody's timeshare.
And we do want to say this, if you're traveling to Disney World for the first time, renting DVC, Disney Vacation Club points, is probably not the best way to go about it, just because it is kind of a difficult to understand process. We've all done it because we've traveled to Disney World several times. Our family is going to Wilderness Lodge in a couple of months for pretty much the same price that it would have cost us to stay at a Port Orleans French Quarter, I believe is what we were looking at. And so there's significant savings renting DVC points as opposed to booking through Disney. There's the DVC rental store. There's David's Vacation Club rentals. If you are a beginner, it's probably the easiest bet to just either book a hotel directly through Disney or one off site.
And I've stayed in a DVC villa studio at Polynesian, and that was roughly $400 a night versus when we did it at Bay Lake, it was a little over $250. So there is substantial savings if you rent the points versus renting directly from Disney.
If you're determined to have those posh accommodations or be close to the theme parks with your hotel, you feel free to email us grimgrinningguys@gmail.com with more questions about that. Anything else you want to say about renting DVC points?
Well, and there may be a lot of people out there, again, once you've taken several trips, if you want to do it on your first trip, but there may be a lot of you out there thinking, well, I would love to stay at Deluxe, but I'll never be able to afford that. This is the way to do that. This is the way to stay at those nice accommodations and where you thought you'd never be able to stay at a Grand Floridian for a cheaper rate. That's how you do it through DVC. And you're still treated just like anybody else on property. I mean, you still get the same advantages through the DVC.
Well, gentlemen, here it is. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm nervous.
This is round one of the Walt Disney World Hotel Battle Royale. Moderate and value edition is what this will be. Today we're going to look at, after our last podcast involving hotels and accommodations, we did have several people kind of asked us questions, well, what's the pros and cons of staying at each of these hotels? And we touched on that a little bit in our previous episode. You can talk on and on and on about these hotels, the pros, the cons, but we did have a few listeners reach out to us with questions, people that are planning to go in the spring and the summer, and so we wanted to go ahead and push pause on the carousel of process to spend a little bit more time on the hotels. And so, Derek, Craig, what I have done is I have taken these 10 moderate and value resorts. I have paired them up, matched them up, if you will. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a tournament, I guess you could call it a tournament, to determine the winner of where we would stay given the choice. Now, you may be saying values and moderates are two different price categories. There's not a tremendous difference. And so we've kind of lumped them together. Derek, do you have any questions?
What?
I'm just waiting for the bell.
Ding, ding, ding. Here we go. Round one, squaring off, we have Pop Century taking on All Star Music. Craig, and how this will work is we'll discuss a little bit about each hotel based on our knowledge and our experiences, and then we will vote on which one advances to the next round. There's three of us. The hotel that receives two votes advances. Craig, Pop Century, All Star Music.
So we do pros right off the back, or pros and cons, or
whatever you want to do. This is clearly not very well planned out by me.
The pros of Pop Century for me is it's got a great food court. It's a big complex with lots of things to do. Great pools. Transportation is dedicated just there. In other words, it comes to Pop Century and go straight to the parks. It doesn't stop any other resort.
What do you not like about Pop Century?
What I do not like about Pop Century is some of the same things. It's vast and large. A lot of people there. A lot of people staying there. It is a value resort, so your crowds are bigger. So sometimes your waits. Disney does a great job of trying. I always see people out there at the bus stops trying to monitor when they need more buses. But it can back up quite a bit at times, depending on what day everybody's going to what park. Other cons would be sometimes because there are so many there, you don't get maybe the exact room you want. But other than that, I think it's a great place to stay. It's great for families, as long as you got a family of four or smaller.
Derek?
Just another positive for Pop would be that I know you said the bus lines would be a negative, but at the same time, it being connected to Art of Animation by Hourglass Lake, I know we've stayed at Pop a few times, and if that we don't feel like waiting in that line, we go to the Art of Animation bus stop, and we just walk back over, and vice versa. So whichever line is shorter, that's the bus line we'll go to. So
now none of us have stayed at All-Star Movies, correct?
No.
I've not stayed in an All-Star.
I've stayed at its cousin, All-Star Sports. So I'll make the case here for All-Star Movies and why you should choose it.
What about the decor of these type? I know we kind of talked about it a little bit.
Well, in All-Star Movies, Sports, Music, and Pop Century, you're going to see those larger-than-life statues and props. It's not going to be, as you said, Derek, as intimate as a moderate or deluxe, but it is going to kind of have that larger-than-life feel that perhaps younger visitors would enjoy. But here's why you need to choose All-Star Movies. It's, and I've never stayed there, so I'm reading off of the Disney World website, it's perhaps the cheapest option, starting at $100 per night. Craig, did you know that it has a Fantasia-themed pool? So for those of you who are Fantasia nuts, you can...
Because there's tons of those.
There's a lot here in Centerville, I know.
Well, and it must be said, even though we're battling back and forth, for a value resort, you're not going there necessarily for the elaborate room.
Really, it's a
place
bed.
To sleep.
Yeah.
You can't see us recording this right now, but we all are wearing boxing gloves. So there's a Fantasia-themed pool. It also has a nice food. It has a food court, from what I can tell, which Pop does also. They also show movies under the stars. It's your run-of-the-mill, I guess you could say, value resort. And again, it's a cheap option. It's an affordable option. But as you said, Craig, this is going to be one of your more crowded resorts. It shares a bus service with All-Star Music and All-Star Sports.
Most times.
It's most of the time. In more crowded peak times, it won't. But it's one of the last bus stops to be picked up and dropped off. That's definitely a con. Derek, Pop Century, All-Star Movies, which one are you voting for to advance in the Battle Royale?
I'll have to go Pop.
And seeing that none of us have stayed at movies, we probably are going to say Pop. Pop's a good choice for a value. Like I said, I'm not going there to relax and to kick back, even though the pools are great. But... again, you're going there to sleep at night, get up next morning, and go back to the park. So it's...
I think for the... And it's not a huge price difference between Pop and All-Star Movies, so yeah. I'm also going to vote Pop, and Pop advances by a 3-0 vote. Let's continue with the value resorts here. All-Star Sports or All-Star Music? Craig?
Seeing how I've not stayed at either one of them, Misty has. My wife has stayed at All-Star Sports. My only thing I can think of, again, not staying there, just from reading about it and just from what others tell me, as far as sports go, you're getting to a lot of teams are there. That's where a lot of your sports teams that come and visit. So certain times of year, you're going to be inundated with lots of other teams, lots of other kids running around. So that's my only negative probably for sports.
Derek?
I think for me it would be probably sports also. Just because I'm hoping that Boone enjoys playing sports, and I think that would be more to his liking if we ever did stay there. So that would get my vote.
I think the sports is the cheapest of all the values. According to the Disney website, starting at $97 a night. Now, you had to be going at a slower time to get that rate. I have stayed in All-Star Sports. That's the only one of the All-Stars I've stayed in. And as you said, Craig, it's a good place. I mean, like most of these, it's a good place to sleep. It was the first pickup on the All-Star Resort buses and the first to drop off, which was good. You never thought that there was going to be a bus fill up before it got there. We ate in the food court a couple times while we were there. No qualms with it. So given the fact that I haven't been to movies, I have been to sports, and I have to pick it, I'm sure I can talk about the cons here in a second, but I'm going to vote sports. What about you, Craig?
Well, I'm going to say this too, and you alluded to it while ago, your theming is, if you do nothing, if you can get a chance one day while you're at Disney to go to all the different resorts and look at their theming, you may be a sports nut, but then again, you may be a movie nut. So you may prefer one over the other just because of the theming. Pop Century, I really enjoyed it because I like to go back and look at the 80s and the 90s and see those things. So I'm going to say for this one, I'm going to go to sports.
And all these have, you know, the pools at all the values are one of their stronger components. Yes, some of them can be kind of bland and loud and crowded, but they do have very large pools that, you know, my son enjoyed the one at All Star Sports. Kids like getting in the water. And if you're a family with small children, the pools at these values are going to do the trick. All right, so Pop Century and All Star Sports have advanced. Now, this next one is kind of a hybrid between moderate and value. You've got the value resort, Art of Animation, and the moderate resort, the Fort Wilderness Cabins. And so two kind of different worlds, very different. The prices, however, are not that different in that at Art of Animation, you find a lot of those family-style suites that can fit larger families or families that want to have a little more room. Derek, tell us, what do you like about Art of Animation? I know you've stayed there.
We've stayed at the Little Mermaid section, which is not the suites, but we did walk around the entire resort, and I just really, again, for me, it gets back to the theming of this resort. I want to say Turtle Talk, but it's Finding Nemo, which I believe they play music under the water at that pool. And then there's Cars, which is probably my favorite area.
Derek, I believe you told me you can hold your breath for 7 minutes.
That is so incorrect.
I thought you got to listen to
a good part
of the soundtrack.
That wasn't voluntary.
Oh.
That was security.
Sir, please stand up. The water is 2 feet deep.
But it's the theming here is really incredible and really immersive. So that's one of the big things for me at Art of Animation.
We stayed at the Lion King suite. And again, when you get into the suites, you're kind of moving up into another tier, like you said, with the Fort Wilderness Cabins. So the suites, what I love about it is you have a bedroom that's separate, has a door and everything apart from the rest of the room. You have a mini kitchen, and you also have a table that folds down into a bed. And then you have a little living room with a sofa and TV that also folds down to a bed and has their own bathroom. So you've got two bathrooms. You've basically got three places to sleep. So for a family of five, with a husband and wife and then three kids, you've got a place for everybody to lay down pretty comfortably.
It holds up to six, I believe.
Yes.
And two bathrooms is a big thing. I, like Derek, we stayed at the Little Mermaid section, which is a regular room. And to talk about some cons of the Art of Animation Resort, I didn't like staying in that section because it was such a long walk. I mean, it was a good 8 to 10 minute walk to the food court, to the lobby, to the bus stop. And so staying in I'd rather stay in a room at Pop Century as opposed to a Little Mermaid room in Art of Animation. But if you are a family with 3-4 children, I think Art of Animation is one of the only options you have, really. But I think it's a great option. Again, the Nemo section is well themed, as is the Lion King section and the Cars section. And it looks, this is the newest hotel in this resort category. I think it was built in 2012 is when it opened. And so everything still looks new, feels new, as opposed to, say, your All Stars. And so those are some good things about Art of Animation.
And again, the theming is great.
Right.
You see a lot of the Imagineers things on the walls in different movies. So it's really, really, really takes you back into some of those movies.
Is there anything you didn't like about it?
Whenever I get into not liking something, usually it's about transportation.
Transportation can make or break your Disney vacation in terms of relying upon their buses or boats or monorails.
Which leads us to Wilderness Cabin.
Yes, the Fort Wilderness Cabins and Campground. Craig, I know you recently spoke with someone who's thinking about going to the Fort Wilderness Cabins. And let's start with the good of the Fort Wilderness Cabins. If you're looking to spend a lot of time at your resort during your hotel stay or during your Disney World stay, if you are a big fan of the outdoors and experiencing nature and roughing it, so to speak, then the Fort Wilderness Cabins are the choice for you. What else is good about these?
It's got a full kitchen, It's got separate bedrooms. It's very large. If you have five or six or seven or eight, I mean, I think it would sleep comfortably.
I think it holds up to six, according to the website.
Okay, not eight then. but I think...
Scoot over.
I think there's plenty of room there. It is a more comfortable experience. And again, it's kind of like having... You're not a part of a hotel. You're actually in your own little cabin away from everybody else. So that's a benefit.
Not away from everybody else. Those cabins are kind of stacked on top of each other, really.
But you're in your own...
You are.
...own room.
For one of the negatives for me is internal transportation. If I ever read about having internal transportation, that's just a big turnoff to me, because I'm like Craig, that, and what Matthew said, that transportation can make or break your trip. So while it is nice to have just your family in the living area and all, and not have to walk past people in hallways or hear hustling and bustling outside of the hallways, There is internal transportation that, who knows how long that can take. I'm not willing to.
Well, and all the, we didn't say this earlier, all the resorts have their own nighttime entertainment, things like that. At the Wilderness, at all the Fort Wilderness or the campground, they've got Chippendales where they...
nighttime fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Camp,
s'mores and movies and all that. So it's got a great atmosphere if you are actually camping out. Or saying those.
And these other hotels we talked about, the Art of Animation, the Pop Century, you walk out of your room and you march down to the bus stop and you wait for a bus and you get on. As Derek said, at Fort Wilderness, you march out of your cabin, walk to a certain point, wait for the internal bus or shuttle to pick you up there, and then they take you to the boat dock to the Magic Kingdom or the main bus stop. And so you're having to get on a couple of different buses, at least, to get to a theme park.
Unless you choose to rent a golf cart, which, again, you're talking more money.
Between $50 and $60 a day,
right?
I think, to have that golf cart.
But that way, you make your own transportation that way, but still, you're costing more money.
If I was to stay, I've talked to my wife about this before, if we were to ever stay at Fort Wilderness Cabins, and I want to eventually, it'll be when we have our own vehicle, because you need your own form of transportation to not spend all hours of the day getting from place to place.
And they've got some great places to eat there too.
Oh, very good. Trails End is great. They have a great swimming pool, a lot of recreational activities.
The Hoop to Do review, it's an unbelievable. As a matter of fact, we were there and Derek and Rachel were there watching the show too. And they're not laughing at anything I just said is the bad thing. But the Hoop to Do review is a great show. Cost a little bit. It's actually two
dining credits
if you're using the meal plan. But again, a great resort, but it is so wide and the transportation is kind of rough. So
Craig, if you're going to Disney World for the first time, as some of our listeners are planning to, or you've been before and you're looking to go to a different hotel, are you going to Art of Animation or Fort Wilderness?
I'm going to Art Animation Suite probably every time. Now, whether it's Art Animation regular room, I don't know if I would go to Art Animation. I might pick Pop, but that's not the two we're up against right here. So I would pick Art Animation over Fort Wilderness.
I would do the same due to the size of our family right now and internal transportation, just evil words to me.
I'm going to go differently on this one, and not that it matters because Art of Animation is going to win, but as I think I would plan to drive and go to Fort Wilderness and stay at a cabin. Just because for us, that's not really a part of Disney World that we've experienced. And something I did mention a moment ago is it kind of harkens back to the beginning of the park. The campground was put in place and was in place when the park opened in 1971. And so it kind of has that ties to that vintage Disney World.
Well, and we're talking about lack of transportation. They do have a boat to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Which
you're in close proximity to the most popular park.
Right. And once you get to Magic Kingdom, then you can take buses from there or a tram to some of the other parks. So, you know, you can make it work, but if you're a first timer,
So you're saying I persuaded you to go to the cabins.
You did not persuade me. But I'm saying if you're a first timer, just so you don't have to figure out all that out, Art Animation.
Despite my best efforts, Art of Animation is advancing in round one. Now we're solely in the moderates. Here, let's talk Port Orleans French Quarter, Port Orleans Riverside. Derek, what's the difference? because this is one that a lot of our listeners replied on Facebook, Twitter that they liked. They liked Riverside. They liked French Quarter. Port Orleans is a very popular option for a lot of families. What's the difference?
The beignets.
The food is a big difference, but
that's all
really
that matters, isn't it?
The French Quarter is just so small. None of the rooms are more than a 5-minute walk from the bus stop, and that's just really convenient. I believe this is probably the smallest resort on property. Just being able to walk to and from the bus and get there fairly quickly is a big positive. And it's decorated kind of like a, what's the downtown area?
New Orleans.
The downtown area of New Orleans. The Riverside area is built along the river and more mansion. They've got a section for mansions, and they've got the bayou area and just a lot more greenery and shrubs, and the buildings are still immaculate and wonderful. And a big positive, though, is for both of them is the bus to Disney Springs. So
the boat.
Everybody has a bus. So that's there's not a whole lot of difference in them except for size to me.
And that makes a big difference, too. You're spending a lot of times in the theme parks walking around. One of our listeners texted me the other day, and I believe he and his family had walked about 18 miles in one day. Wow. They visited all four parks. So you're going to spend a lot of time walking around the parks. You don't want to, if you can prevent it, you don't want to spend a lot of time walking around your resort. And the, you know, I've never stayed at French Quarter. It's kind of on my to-do list, but it is a little more expensive than Riverside, not by a lot, but I think it's worth paying that extra premium to be able to walk, as you said, Derek, to be within a 5-minute walk of the bus stop, of the food court, of the pool, and you can walk from those resorts. I mean, it's like a 10-minute walk between the resorts. So if you really want to enjoy the amenities at Riverside, you can. If you want to, if you're staying at Riverside and want to go to French Quarter, you can. I think they both have really great pools with water slides and all the works. There's a kiddie play area, I know, at French Quarter at the pool area. So, Craig, which one you going with?
I've only stayed in one, and that was with you guys. First trip we took together, and like I said, I don't know enough to say the difference, so I'm going to go with which one do we stay in?
Riverside.
Craig's voting Riverside.
I'm impressed with Riverside because of the size of the room.
I've stayed at Riverside. I liked Riverside, but I really want to stay at French Quarter. I'm voting for French Quarter. So, Derek, this is a big one. You're deciding who moves on in the Battle Royale.
Even though it doesn't have a sit-down restaurant on that side of the property, I'm going to have to go with French Quarter.
Craig is emotionally shaken right now. We'll give him a few moments to gather his thoughts. Last one here in round one, and that'll do it for today. Caribbean Beach Resort or Coronado Springs. We talked a little bit about these in our last episode. These are the two largest moderate resorts, if you don't include the cabins. I believe Caribbean Beach is the largest resort on property. I think they have well over 2,000 rooms. Large footprint. But as I said in the last episode, our family loves Caribbean Beach Resort. It's very relaxing. It gives you some space. There is a lot of walking involved. There are a lot of bus stops. But it has pretty good food options. And it has a greatly themed pool. And there's a lot of picturesque scenery. Derek, I know you're a big fan of Coronado Springs. Why is that?
I am. It gets back to the transportation for me. I would say that I enjoy the pool at Coronado Springs a little better than Caribbean. It's really neat to let Boone get in there and play. And of course, the number of bus stops is 4 versus 7. At one time, there were 7 at Caribbean Beach, but that should be decreased since they've closed down a few of the sections.
Yeah, the pool has a 50-foot replica of a Mayan pyramid in the middle of it. It is pretty awesome to see. I've never been there personally, but just looking at pictures online, it's very impressive. Craig, well, Coronado Springs, Caribbean
before,
Beach.
Before Derek went to Coronado Springs, he and I researched it pretty good, and I was really interested in it because it's a convention-type resort. So you can go online and find a list of what conventions are coming up there. And if you can hit it right, the place will be pretty empty because there won't be any conventions going on. The way Derek and I kind of talked about it, if there's a convention going on, most of those people aren't probably going to the parks during the day. So shouldn't be a whole lot of people on the transportation. Beautiful place. Look at it online. It looks like a great place to stay. I've stayed at Caribbean Beach. Caribbean Beach, I love the layout. I love going to the Caribbean. It's got a special place in my heart. So it reminds me a whole lot of that. And because it is so stretched out, the pools aren't as crowded. It doesn't seem like there's as many people. And some of that's a theme in the big palm trees and the different things like that. Makes it feel like you're kind of there on your own. The thing I didn't like, though, was at Caribbean Beach was how far you had to go to the main place to check in. If you had questions, even when checking out. Last time I checked out there, we were with the school group, and it took us well over an hour to check out, which was ridiculous. And it was an exception. It's not always like that. But just the process of trying to get over there to do that with your bags and everything. So it was kind of a – that's the thing that I did not like about Caribbean Beach. Like the theming, like the room is great, the swimming pool is great, but it just did not – again, like I'm with Derek on that. You're talking about seven stops. It was always an extra wait for one way or another. So I'd probably lean more toward Coronado Springs.
So Craig is picking Coronado Springs, and these are two resorts that are undergoing quite a bit of construction right now. They're going to see a lot of changes in the near future. I'm going with Caribbean Beach. There's nothing for the simple fact of we usually get up early and go into the parks, come back after lunch, and while the kids are napping, and I will go out and lay in a hammock on the beach and just relax in the shade. And that feeling alone is worth it.
I did really like the food court, too.
It was very diverse food court at Caribbean Beach. So you're sticking with Coronado Springs.
I'm going back and forth. Uh-oh. Coronado Springs, too, I think Derek may have said it, but I can't remember. It is centrally located, too. Probably the most centrally located resort of all of them. It's right in the center. So your wait time going to all the different parks is not that great. So, boy, I don't know. I'm on the fence here.
Well, Craig is on the bubble. I'm picking Caribbean Beach. I think I know what Derek's going to pick.
You do. Because for me, the main building where you get dropped off with your luggage and all is not being more central to your rooms is a deal breaker for me. I don't want to have to take a shuttle to drop my bags off with bag check and then go back and try and find Rachel somewhere else on the resort. So for me, it's easy with Coronado Springs. I know that I don't, like Craig was saying, I don't have to wait more than 15 minutes on the bus to get me to and from the parks.
What did you have for breakfast, too, at Coronado Springs?
Some kind of waffles. I don't remember.
Well, I just remember the picture. It was great.
And then Coronado Springs has two sit-down restaurants. So that's another bonus, and they also have a food court.
So Derek's picking Coronado Springs?
It's 1-1, Craig. What are you going with?
Even though Derek stabbed me in the back a while ago, I'm going with Coronado Springs.
Knockout.
I lost two. Oh, well. So, moving on to the next round,
it was your choice, though. You chose to choose the dark side.
That's true. So, advancing on to round two, we have Pop Century, All-Star Sports, Port Orleans French Quarter, Port Orleans French Quarter, Coronado Springs, and the Art of Animation Resort. In a few weeks, or in a few episodes, we don't really know, we will come back and figure out who will be crowned king of the Value and Moderate Resort Disney World Hotel Battle Royale. Did you guys have fun?
Enjoyable.
Any feelings been hurt?
And we'll do this with Deluxes.
And eventually we'll do this with Deluxes when we're...
But hopefully this has given you an insight, those of you that are listening, of more, okay, it's my first time. Tell me more about where I need to go. So and hopefully that's helped.
That was the goal behind this, was just continuing to talk you through some of the hotel options that we brought up in the last episode. So hopefully you got some pros and cons today.
And I'll say too, Matthew, I didn't mean to interrupt, but go to the Disney website. It tells you more about it. And we've pushed all kinds of different things as far as DVC points, things like that. But even Tom Bricker, DisneyTouristBlog.com, has some great information on each and every hotel. He ranks them. He tells you which is his favorite resort. You know, do some shopping. Don't just guess at it. Go and do some research and find out. But hopefully we're filling those gaps for you.
And our friend Josh over at EasyWDW.com also gives a good kind of a general rundown of each resort, and he kind of ranks them according to transportation, pools, dining, and other things. So
he's also Hot Dogosaurus,
right? His name on Twitter, Hot Dogosaurus Rex, I think. Well, that leads us into today's grim grinning greatness question.
Speaking of Matthew, I was just looking while y'all were pulling some stuff up while ago about, we had some comments on our last one about what their favorite snacks were.
We do appreciate the fan interaction. Is that what we call them? Are they fans? Are they listeners? We appreciate our listener. You may not be fans, but we appreciate you listening. We do thank you all for participating in those. Craig, what were some of the answers?
Nick said his favorite snack is the bacon cheese roll at Les Halles.
The bakery in France, Epcot.
Yes. Mandy says that hers is the blue raspberry slush at Pinocchio Village House and a cinnamon roll at Gaston's Tavern.
Yes, the cinnamon roll the size of your head. How do you pronounce that bakery in France, Derek?
I can't see it. I don't.
I'm just glad Gaston's Tavern doesn't have the turkey leg anymore.
Yeah, or the pork shank.
Pork shank, that's what it was.
Pork shank. It's time for our Grim Grinning Greatness question of the day. Again, these gentlemen don't know what I'm going to ask. And we're adding a twist, Derek.
Perfect.
Did you know this? Once an answer has been taken, you cannot use it. And our first time we did this, we all said the same ride.
Because we had no idea what we were doing.
Correct.
We remedied that.
So now if I say something,
gotcha,
you cannot say it, and so on and so forth. So today's question involves, what is your favorite quick service restaurant at Animal Kingdom? And since I asked the question, I get to go first. That's how it works. Craig and Derek both tried to jump in on that. I'm going to choose Satouli Canteen, the newest quick service addition to Animal Kingdom. It is located in the Pandora, the world of Avatar. It provides a lot of different healthy options, but also very flavorful options. And I'm a big fan of trying new things. I don't want your average old hamburger hot dog every time I sit down for a quick service meal at Disney World. Satouli Canteen has good dinner options as well as good desserts. And so that's what I'm picking. Derek, you're up next.
I'm going to leave that one for Mo. But
Mo is Craig, by the way, for those of you listening in.
I think I'm going to go with the only other one I've eaten at besides the one I'm going to let him take, and the one you said, and I'm going to go with Pizzafari.
Interesting.
Who doesn't like pizza? It's not, as I said before in one of the earlier shows, it's none of the food there I've had has been probably the best of anything I've ever had, but it's good. It's still not going to make me dread going to eat there, so that's always a positive for me. And at Pizzafari, you've got multiple types of pizza, so pretty much you can
find. It's a very affordable option too.
Absolutely.
It's my wife's favorite restaurant at Animal Kingdom. A lot of times when you go in there too, it's not, if you don't go at peak times, there's nobody in there, and
right,
it gives you an opportunity
and
to
relax.
And
it's really big too. It's lots, right, always lots of seating, so.
Well, I think we know what Craig's going to say. I said Satouli Canteen. Derek went with Pizzafari. And as always, we encourage you to comment on our Facebook page with what your Grim Grinning Greatness answer would be. Craig, let me guess, you're choosing Restaurantosaurus?
I am not. I'm going with Flame Tree Barbecue. That should not be a quick service. I mean, as the amount of food you get. Last time we were there, of course, we had the meal plan, but it was ribs, chicken, and pork for $19.95, and then the sides with that and your drink, and just ridiculous.
And in Disney prices, that's a great deal.
Oh my goodness. But it's just, of course, you'll learn as we go through this process, the amount of food you get is important to me. The more the better. But it was just, again, they had a refurbishment there for a little bit. It's a nice setup. You actually get to go out and it's overlooking some water, and it's a great setup, but the food is just second to none in my book.
I thought you usually got the watermelon salad. Is that wrong?
That is a appetizer.
Well, everyone, we thank you for joining us on episode 5, the Walt Disney World Hotel Battle Royale Round 1, Moderate and Value. I think that's the title. It's some combination of those words.
Working title.
And Matthew, if anyone does have more questions that we did not answer,
right,
feel free to email us. grimgrinnyguys at gmail.com. You know, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, ask away and comment all you want.
You can listen and subscribe on the Apple podcast app and also at Podbean. So with that being said, we thank you again for listening to the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. And remember, as you leave to...
beware the hitchhiking ghost.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join a jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
What are we going to call it?
Do we have a snake I can pet?